Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for inviting me to say something. Unfortunately, as you all know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is in Kerala taking some treatment. And so we are deprived of his association and presence, feeling lonely in his absence now. Anyway, I've been asked to speak, so I'm the imitation. So please bear with me. As mother bears with child who may be kicking in her womb, please don't take any offenses to what I may say. Chaupati Yatra ki. Chaupati Bhakta Brinda ki. Hare Krishna. No. So on Tuesday, we're actually celebrating the inauguration of Shishi Radha Gopinathji. They were installed on Tuesday. How many years ago? 1986. 88. Okay, 1980. So it's going to be an anniversary celebration on Tuesday. So in one sense it's their birthday, another birthday celebration. They appeared here that day. So perhaps we should speak something about Radha Gopinath because it's their birthday. And also they are the Ishtadeva of our Sampradaya. We are coming in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And each sampradaya has its predominating deity and its process of attaining the deity, understanding the deity. So in our sampradaya from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us our identity. Gopi Pariya Kamala Das. That I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. It's all negative. So what is positive? He says, I'm none of these identifications. I simply identify myself only to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. So master is the nath, so gopi nath, servant of the servant of Gopinath. This is our identity, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we have Radha Gopinathji, and we are the servants of their servants of their servants of their servants of their servants. So now we know who we are. We can hear something about Radha Gopinath. Of course, the process is given for worshipping Gopinath. And that is the process of bhakti. The nine angas of bhakti, specifically kirtanam, chanting, specifically this is the yuga dharma for the age, the chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. So by this process, Gopinath can be known. By this process, Gopinath can be served. And by this process, Gopinath can be loved. This is our only ambition. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the descriptions of the different incarnations of Godhead. In fact, there are unlimited incarnations of Godhead. Just like the waves of a river or the ocean, you can't estimate how many waves are constantly coming. So these incarnations of God are coming perpetually throughout the creation of the world. So a description is given of some of the primary incarnations that are coming. And Vyasadeva, the compiler of Vedas, he gives us the incarnations like Matsya and Kumara and Raha and Ashingadev and Vamadev and Parashuram and Ramchandra. And he doesn't mention Krishna. He doesn't mention Krishna. He mentions Balaram and Buddha and the Kalki avatar. But he does mention that actually Krishna is not an incarnation. He is actually the source of the incarnations. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. There are many incarnations of God, but Krishna, he is Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality of God. Or encyclopedia, if you look at the name Krishna, in most always it is written Krishna, an incarnation of Vishnu. And actually, there are so many Vedas, Puranas, etc., that also say the same thing, that actually Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Vishnu is the source of all the incarnations in this world. So how can we understand? Some places it says he's an incarnation, some places it says he's not an incarnation. So, it is explained that although these different avatars are coming every time and Krishna is coming every set of four yugas, like Ramchandra, they have their cycles, they come every set of yugas. And these incarnations, they are coming from Kirodakshai Vishnu. You get the three Vishnus who create this material world. The Karnadakai Vishnu, who is in the Yoga Nidra, and the universe is emanated from his body, the pores of his body, like little bubbles. And he enters into them as Garbhadakshai Vishnu. And in each universe, each Brahmanda, Garbhadakshai Vishnu grows the lotus stem from his lotus. And the universe is created within the stem of the lotus. Then that same personality enters into the universe in each and every living entity, in the heart of every living entity, as Hiradakkai Vishnu. So even in the when it's time for the incarnations to come into this world, they come through the agency of Hiradakshai Vishnu. There is a planet in the material world, which Prabhupada is the local Vaikuntha planet, where Hiradakshai Vishnu lives. Because he is actually the super soul of the universe. He expands into everyone's heart and he acts as a super soul. So he maintains the universe. Therefore he's present everywhere. It's a good way to manage. If you're present everywhere, you can manage very nicely. So he's all pervading everywhere. So Therefore, he maintains. So, in these different times when Krishna is coming, actually they are coming from Kirudakshaya Vishnu. Except, once in the day of Brahma, they're coming all the time. Brahma lives a very, very long time. One day it becomes practically calculated. And there's so many hundreds of incarnations coming in that period. But one time in one of Brahma's days, the original personality of Godhead comes. That is Krishna from Golok Vrindavan. He comes directly. He doesn't have to come through the agency of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. He actually comes directly. And he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the source. He's called Avatari. That means he's the source of all the other avatars. But all the rest of the times when Krishna appears here, in the rest of the day of Brahma, they're actually incarnations of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So therefore the statements, they make sense, okay? This mostly is an incarnation of Krishna, but on a very rare occasion, once in the day of Brahma, then the original personality of Godhead comes. The difference also is that when Krishna comes through the agency of Kiradakshaya Vishnu, Krishna is there, Radha is there, Vrindavan is there in name, but the relationship is Shwakya. They're married, like king and queen. But when the original Krishna comes, Swayam Krishna, he is Nanda Nanda. He's just the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's not married. This is Parikya Ras. This is the paramaship of Radha and Krishna. They're not married. And this is actually the situation that goes on eternally in the realm of Krishna, in the spiritual world. Krishna is tasting the Parikya Ras. And just once in the day of Brahma, he comes and the original Vrindavan comes. He brings his mother, his father, Radharani, the whole of Vrindavan. Everything descends. And then he performs his pastimes here to show us, simply so we can get an understanding of who is God. Otherwise everybody's speculating, what is God, who is God. Everybody's got so many ideas. So Krishna firstly comes himself and displays his pastimes. He says, look, here I am. You don't have to speculate what I look like. You see my tribhangi form. You see my color, nice bluish. You see my peacock feather on my head. You see my flute, my yellow dhoti. So Krishna comes to put an end to speculation. That's why he's coming. You don't have to worry and speculate. Here I am, I'm presenting myself. Here are my pastimes. Here is my Jamuna, here is my Govardhan, here is my cows, here is my friends. So he gives us a picture of what is going on eternally in the spiritual world. And he's come to attract us back to him, back to his brother. But he will also prove it. If anybody can say, well, I am God. Krishna appeared some 5,000 years ago. He said he's God. Well, I'm appearing today. I can say I am God. What is this? No, Krishna's not the God who just says he's God, but he also proves it. From the very beginning of his birth. From the very beginning, he appears with four arms before his mother and father. Beautiful curling hair, ornaments. Which baby is born like that? Mataji. Which Mataji had a baby who was born with nice earrings and ornaments and nice long hair? Very beautiful. When the babies are born in this world, they have to dip in the bucket of antiseptic. But Krishna's born very nice and beautiful. So from the very beginning of his birth, and four arms as well. We can get four legs if we like in this. we can get a birth with four legs. That's not a problem. But we can't get four arms. So Krishna's coming and he's showing all these wonderful pastimes. Big Rakshasi Putana comes to kill him. Big giant demon. Krishna sucks out her life. 7 years old. He lifts a big mountain on his finger for 7 days. At Kuruketra, Arjuna, can I see Vishruksha? Shows the whole universal form. Prabhupada said, this is the challenge. This is the challenge. So many incarnations of God. Prabhupada said, every street corner in India you have one incarnation. They're smoking bidi. He says, you never see a picture of Krishna smoking bidi. But here on the street corner, the incarnation is smoking bidi. So this is the test for the incarnation. So probably you are an incarnation of God, but you can please show the universal form and we can accept it. That they cannot do. Well, when Krishna was at Dwaraka, he married 16,108 beautiful Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune. And we have a problem. One wife in this material world. Krishna has 16,108 wives. And of course everybody's struggling to get a little house somewhere. So Krishna, he has 16,108 beautiful palaces. His wife has her own palace. And then, because then the Lakshmi say, well, his wife has got to wait 16,108 nights before they can be with Krishna. Long time to wait. So no, Krishna expands himself into 16,108 Krishnas. And he's living with each palace with each wife. And then the scholars accuse Krishna of being lusty. And Prabhupada said, even if Krishna is lusty, he is unlimitedly lusty. So this is the position of God. He is unlimited. Whatever. But we see in history, nobody has ever equaled Krishna in his activities. So Krishna makes a claim, yes, I am God, but he also proves it. He's not one of these cheaty gods. So this is who we are dealing with, that Supreme Personality of God. Out of his kindness, he simply comes and shows his pastimes. You don't have to speculate anymore. Here I am. Here are my wonderful pastimes. Just become attractive. Develop your love for me and come back with me. I'll take you back. So this is the kindness of Krishna. So, this Krishna, this Gopinath, now we are worshipping. This is the Gopinath who comes once in the day of Brahma. He's not the incarnation from Kiradakshai Vishnu. Because this is, Krishna appears on schedule on the 28th millennium in each day of Brahma. So this is the 28th millennium in Brahma's day. Today is Brahma's birthday. It's actually his 50th birthday. So Krishna is appearing on this day of Brahma at this particular time. So the last time Krishna appeared there in Vrindavan, that was the original personality of Godhead. It wasn't the incarnation from Vishnu. It was the original Goloka Krishna. So, now we have to approach him. How to approach Radha and Krishna? Not so easy. The original personality of Godhead. In the Ananta Samhita it said, if you worship Vishnu, Narayan, for 1 billion kalpas, you cannot approach Radha and Krishna. Vishnus are the incarnations. You worship the incarnations, the Vishnu incarnation, for 1 billion kalpas, you cannot understand Radha and Krishna. Once Anantadev, who holds all the universes on his head, the incarnation of Lord Balaram, he went to Svetadvip to see Lord Narayan. He said, Lord, by your mercy, I hold all the planetary systems on my head. I can see everything. I've been everywhere. By your mercy. So I'm beseeching more of your mercy. My desire is to go and see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. He was surprised and he started to smile. He said, Anantadev, what are you asking? How come this question has arisen in you? This is like trying to catch hold of the tail of a dog to cross the ocean. How come these kind of questions arisen in you? I mean, you're so unintelligent. You're so unqualified. You're the king of the snakes. How is it possible you've asked such a question? But because you are asking a question, you're inquisitive. Therefore, I can understand you must be one of the greatest devotees. Otherwise, that's not possible. Lord Brahma performed austerities for 100 years at Pushkar. He can't get entrance. I myself can't even see these pastimes. Maya Devi and Lord Shiva, who control the whole world, they can't even enter. Kiradakshaya Vishnu, he cannot enter. You know the story in the Krishna book? Kiradakshaya stole the sons of the Brahmanas because he couldn't see Krishna. We can't even see Krishna. You're desiring to see Krishna. But because you have such a strong desire, that is a good, very good symptom. You must be a very great devotee. Anyway, to understand Radha and Krishna, you have to approach the gopis of Vrindavan. Otherwise, you will never understand. Radha and Krishna have given themselves over, the property of their devotees. And the best devotees are the gopis. So you have to seek the shelter of the gopis of Vrindavan. So therefore, Anantadev, immediately, go and take shelter of Nambadvip. Because there, the Supreme Lord, Radha and Krishna himself, has appeared in the form of Gauranga. And they've come to give this love of the gopis. And only by his mercy, you will be able to understand and approach Radha and Krishna. So immediately go to Nambadvip and chant the names of Gauranga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Ananta performed many austerities too. And got the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Anantadev also took part in the pastimes of Gauranga as Nityananda Prabhu. He is Nityananda's expansion of Nityananda and Anantadev. They are the same. So this is just showing the rarity and the wonderful opportunity we've got to be around at this time, this particular yuga, when the original personality of Godhead comes and is giving Braja Prem freely in the form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Otherwise you don't get it. For the rest of the universe, you don't get it. You can go back to Vaikuntha, but you'll never understand what is Radha Krishna Prem. You'll not get it. So Lord Chaitanya came to give. He gave that very greatest gift of such a rare thing. He's come to give it freely to the inhabitants of the age of Kali, the most degraded age. He's giving the topmost thing to the most fallen, degraded personalities in the age of Kali. Just for a few short years, his movement will be around. It said 10,000 years. It's like the golden age of Kali. Just a short period of 10,000 years in Kali Yuga. When Lord Gauranga appears, I think 5,000 years it will flourish, then 5,000 years it will gradually decrease, and after that the age of Kali will become very prominent. And only Kalki will come. No more preaching. Only killing. Then that ushers in the next Shatyuga. So then the cycles are going on and on. Actually, it's a very short period. But it's just a little drop of very special mercy that if you're actually around at this time, you can get this special mercy and actually go back to the original Goloka Vrindavan to enjoy with the original personality of Godhead. So, this is a very rare phenomenon it's very confidential. Although it's every day for us, we're hearing it every day because we have our books, we have our acharyas, they've given us some, we take it as kind of, but it's very extremely, extremely rare to be in this situation now where we're actually able to serve, approach Radha and Gopinathji, the original personality of Godhead. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was come and made it, otherwise nobody would really know. Because even Krishna, when Krishna was here and showed his pastimes, but then he says to Arjuna, Sarvadanam Parityaja Mamikam Saranam Raja Hangtang Sarvapapidyo Mukshish Mahasucha, that you should give up all of your varieties of religion and surrender to me. Krishna's demanding. He's making a demand. So people get a little bit scared when they hear that word, I got to surrender to Krishna and give up all my other dharmas. He's demanding. It means you got to give up your Ganeshji. You got to give up your Lakshmi Narayana. You got to give up your Shivji. Yes, he's demanding. So people find it difficult. Oh, like Krishna is making a demand like that. It's very difficult for me. So Krishna, he's also understanding that it's difficult for the living entities in Kali Yuga. So therefore, he says, I'll have to come myself. I make it a bit more easier, because even I come and I show my pastimes, still they find it difficult to surrender to me. So I'd have to come and make it easier, because then they can't accept it so easily. So this is the mission, the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, the Lord was being served in by Rukmini. Lord Krishna, he was coming to the palace in Dwarka, the eternal Dwarka, Vaikuntha. So Rukmini comes, Krishna comes to Rukmini's palace. So she receives him so nicely with her servants. And they sit him down and she washes his feet and massaging him. Tears are pouring from her eyes on his lotus feet. And he says, Rukmini, my dear, why are you crying like this? She said, no, you cannot understand why I'm crying. He said, you're still upset with me because I teased you one time and told you to marry Shishupala? You're still angry with me? No, it's not that. Right? Someone's upset you? He looked directly at Sudarshan, who was Chakras. Someone upset you, like, no, I didn't do anything. She says, why are you crying? Like that. She says, no, you can't understand why I'm crying. She said, why I can't understand? I said, no, you are coming here. We're so happy. It's the greatest moments of our life when you come and see us. There's no greater happiness that we want, but it's just the thought. Whenever the thought comes that after some time you're going to leave us again, it just plunges us into an ocean of distress that your lotus feet will no longer be visible before our eyes. And we're plunged into an ocean of distress. Therefore, you can't understand these things. Because you're never separated from your lotus feet. Because they're always on the end of your legs. You don't know. So therefore, you don't know. You don't know what your devotee is feeling when you leave. You just, oh, very surprising. I thought I knew everything. I didn't know there was something I didn't know. That time Narad Muni arrived. Narad Muni came in, and he was also in a distressed condition. And she said, Narad, what's the matter with you? He said, I just come down from planet Earth. Oh, you ought to see the condition. It's Kali Yuga. Oh, it's so bad. And you know what the prime symptom is? All the men are controlled by the women. This doesn't happen in other yugas, but in Kali Yuga, I see no means of their deliverance. But how can they ever be saved? They're so much under the spell of Maya in Kali Yuga. Who will deliver them? Therefore, I'm very unhappy. So then Krishna said, oh, it's also sad news, but I heard something very interesting from Rupa. But she said, I don't know what the devotees are feeling when they see my lotus feet and experience it. So I want to experience that. So therefore I will come as my own devotee, in the sentiment of my own devotee, the best devotee, Srimati Radharani. And I will experience what is the taste of my lotus feet. And simultaneously, Narad, I will bring all of my devotees with me. And will perform the Harinam Sankirtan. And we're going to smash the fangs of Kali. We'll make him flee to different places. All the Sampradayas will come under the banner of Sankirtan. We will smash Kali and establish Sankirtan movement. Jai Go Premanande! So he's very happy. So he's coming for two reasons. One, to relish his own nectar. And another one, to establish the Yuga Dharma, the Sankirtan of Sankirtan. One desire is to liberate everyone, to give them the greatest benediction, Raja Prema. And the other desire is his own selfish desire. What is also selfish? So he wants also to taste. This is his internal desire, the internal reason why he's coming. He wants to taste, why Radharani is so attractive to me? How much does she love for me? What does she actually experience when she's done this? This I'm very eager to taste. This was his desire. So therefore he assumed the mood. He's Krishna himself, but he's coming. He assumes the mood of Srimati Radharani. And because the mood is so prominent, it also made his effulgence the same color as Radharani. Therefore he comes in a golden form. So he's Krishna with the sentiment of Radharani. So the mood of someone is the person. So practically, he's Srimati Radharani. So in this form, and then he is giving us so much information. Because he's relishing devotional service to Krishna. He's tasting in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And by his grace, he's revealing it. And his followers are revealing it. Therefore, we have so nice scriptures from the Goswamis and Srupa Damodar and all those intimate associates who recorded all these things. What is the proper attitude? What is the proper mood to approach Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan? Because only he can give. And his devotees. So personally, Lord Chaitanya, he has come to give that. And we see at the Rath Yatra festival, we were just there. So you probably read those portions from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I heard them. How Lord Chaitanya was so kindly revealing the essence of Rath Yatra. How are they pulling Krishna to Vrindavan? This is the meaning of pulling the Rath. They're pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having this pastime with Jagannath, sometimes going behind, and Jagannath would stop to see whose love was the greatest. And when Mahaprabhu went behind, then Jagannath would stop. It meant because he was in the mood of Radharani. It means Jagannath was conquered by Radharani's love. He had to stop. So this competition was going on. He was expressing so many beautiful prayers and moods that that we can now we can understand. He revealed it himself. Otherwise, you can't understand. This is Radha and Krishna talking together, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. Otherwise, you will never know. This is intimate talk, right? Man and woman, you don't know what the intimate talk that goes on. But he so kindly revealed it in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Jagannath. And but then, of course, there was that very famous prayer. This is the same night of Chaitra. It's the same full moonlit night, and we are here. And Mahaprabhu was singing this like poet. It's like a love song. And Rupa Goswami analyzed it. He understood that, and he wrote it down. That this is the same night of Chaitra, it's the same moon, but the mood is different. And he said this was when Krishna went to Kuruketra, there was a solar eclipse. And because Krishna went from Dwarka, so everybody took advantage. Oh, Krishna's going to Dwarka, to Kuruketra. So everybody went to Kuruketra, all the Jadu dynasty and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Everybody went there on the excuse of taking a bath during the solar eclipse. But it's just to see Krishna and be with Krishna, actually. So they all assembled there, and it was a great meeting of all the different relations there. And then Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan came, and they were able to see Krishna. Then Krishna made some excuse that he could meet secretly with the gopis and talk to them more intimately. And he even asked, why don't you come back to Dwarka with me? So it was then they made that kind of prayer. It's the same night, moon, it's the same full moon out there. And but now you're dressed in all this armor and glittery, and there's a rattling of chariots here with all these soldiers and the pomp. And we want to see you by the bank of the Jamuna with your, you know, face painted with different minerals from Govardhan and your peacock feather in your hair with a flute. We want to see you like this, Krishna. You're the same Krishna, it's the same night, but we just want you to meet you and be with you in Vrindavan. So we want to take you back. This is the meaning of Rath Yatra. They want to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expressing this. And of course, the Rupa Goswami found that. He wrote a little note. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing it's not just a mundane poetry thing. It's actually, this is actually what it means. Is that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Mayapur in the Srivasangam performing Kirtan. That was Vrindavan. That was the place. We couldn't understand at that time. But that place is not different than Vrindavan. That nocturnal kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivasangam is not different than a Rasleela. That was Vrindavan. No, we couldn't understand at that time. That's the original Krishna in Navadvip. So then Krishna's there, they're having this conversation. And it's just revealing so much of the moods. And he's expressing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing that you, Krishna, you sent us a letter with Uddhava. Actually, this wasn't proper. Because in that letter, you express that, my dear gopis, my dear friends, you should understand that separation between us is impossible at any time or in any place because I'm all pervading. There is no question of our separation. I know you're feeling separation, but if you understand philosophically, you will understand there's no separation. Radharani is writing back, why are you treating us like common yogis? You sent that Uddhava with this letter, and then Uddhava is telling us, simply meditate on Krishna within the heart. You think of his pastimes. Why are you sending that message? Why are you treating us like common yogis? We're not yogis that we do meditation. We're not gyanis that we have to understand how you're all pervading everywhere. We loved you from the beginning of our lives, Krishna. Please don't treat us like ordinary common gyanis or yogis. We're not that. And then Krishna, he sends the message back. He said, no, please, no, for sure. He said, I think of you constantly. He said, in fact, every night when I go to sleep, I begin to cry, thinking of you and all of our pastimes and of my mother and father. And then Krishna's explaining that the only reason that I am here with the members of the Jadu dynasty is simply to bring them some pleasure. Actually, my pleasure is not here. In Dwapara or Mathura, my pleasure is only there with you. The only reason I'm here is because my relatives, they want me to be with them. It means the Jadu dynasty, the Kuru dynasty. That's the only reason I'm with them, because to please them. But for myself, my heart is always with you in Vrindavan. I never leave Vrindavan. That is my life. That is my only happiness. Therefore, if you say Krishna never takes one footstep out of Vrindavan. And here he's making that statement in this conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath. He's admitting, the only reason I'm here is for the pleasure of my family members, other family members. But my pleasure is in Vrindavan. So the Vedic aphorism is God is one and he becomes many. Why? For his pleasure. What is his pleasure? It's Srimati Radharani, all of his devotees, all of Vrindavan. That's his pleasure. Krishna doesn't have to go outside of Vrindavan anymore. He doesn't have to leave. And he never leaves. It's a fact. He always stays there. That's his only pleasure. You know the story of Jaya Vijay. At Leela, they were cursed by the four Kumaras to come to the material world as demons and have a fight, good fights. But the whole Leela, the whole pastime was that they saw that Narayan is something a little bit lacking. And the thing was that he wanted to have a little fight because no one's the enemy there, so he couldn't have a fight in Vaikuntha. So the devotees, the whole Leela was arranged, so Jaya and Vijay were cursed by the Kumaras to come down and take some births as demons. And they had a big fight. And Krishna had a... Because when Krishna wants to fight, who's going to fight with him? So he takes his own Vaikunthavasis because they're very powerful and strong. Otherwise... So they come as demons and then they had a good fight as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and big demons. So they had good fights with Krishna. So it satisfied that fighting propensity because fighting propensity is there in God. That's why we have it. That's why we have everything. That's why we have sex desire, because it's there in Krishna. But he is the Adiras. Everything that we experience is originally there in God. So he has that. So even in Vaikuntha, because there's no fighting there, it's no enemies. So he comes here just to experience that. But Krishna, he doesn't even have that problem. Because Krishna's fighting all the time with his friends. They always have wrestling matches and... He's got his girlfriends, he's got his mother is there, his father is there, all these very different relations. So he never has to leave Vrindavan. And he never takes one footstep outside. So, according to that statement, that the only reason he is there to satisfy the devotees is that when Krishna apparently leaves Vrindavan, of course he never leaves, but some expansion will leave. It's for the pleasure of his devotees. Otherwise, Krishna is completely satisfied, perfectly satisfied in his own abode of Goloka, which means, actually indicates, that all those billions and billions of Vaikuntha planets that are spread throughout the spiritual sky, Ayodhyadham, all the different lokas of the Lord, they are there simply for the satisfaction of Krishna's devotees, although they're eternal. Because Krishna himself never leaves Vrindavan. He only leaves to satisfy his devotees. So some devotees want to serve Krishna as a king in a more royal aspect. Then to satisfy their desires, Krishna has to create a Vaikuntha. Of course, they're all eternal, but in terms of that Vaikuntha planet is for those devotees who want to serve Krishna in that mood. But for himself, Krishna is perfectly happy with his mother and father and Radharani and Balaram, the cowboys, and all the cows. He never leaves. So, here is the devotional sentiment that the gopis, they just wanted to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And Krishna himself never leaves Vrindavan. So actually, a devotee, unalloyed devotee, Prabhupada is a classification. He talks of, you know, pure devotees and unalloyed devotees. An unalloyed devotee is someone who will never ever do anything to make Krishna leave Vrindavan. That's an unalloyed devotee. A pure devotee, he can worship any form of the Lord. But the unalloyed devotees, it's the very last thing they will do to want Krishna to leave Vrindavan in any other form. That means the unalloyed devotees are the devotees of Radha Gopinath. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his unalloyed devotees always stay with him in Vrindavan. It's the very, very last thing that they would want to ever make Krishna take one step out of Vrindavan. And you can see that exhibition when Akrura come to take Krishna away to Mathura. Literally, the gopis stopped, they blocked the chariot, they made it. They stood in front of the horses, you can't go. They fell down, fainting. So this is a pure unalloyed devotee. It's only of Krishna. The others are not pure unalloyed devotees. Because there, Krishna is there for their pleasure. But here, the devotees are there in Vrindavan only for Krishna's pleasure. That's their only business. So this is what the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving us. This is what is coming down in this age of Kali. That we even have an opportunity to participate in and go back to that supreme abode of Krishna. It's so rare. It's such a rare place to attain. And Lord Chaitanya has come and made it available along with all of his devotees who have also came with him from that very same place. Golokira premadana hari namo sankitana. That Golok, that frame, Goloka frame, that has descended in the age of Kali in the form of chanting Hare Krishna. Hari Nama Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so simple for us to take us back to the original abode of Gopinath. Of course, you have a choice. You can go by chanting Hare Krishna, you can go to any planet you like. Because it's so powerful, this Maha Mantra. It's from Golok. This is the theme song. Because you've got your Bollywood studios here, you know. Someone makes a film, then they have a music script. That's a very important part of the film. It's a big product because if you get the music down, it really carries So there's a theme that usually goes throughout, especially if it's a love story, there's a whole music theme that goes through. So there's a theme in Golok. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And everybody's chanting, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna's pastimes are going on. This is the theme, music behind it. And Krishna's performing his pastimes because everyone and everything there is chanting Hare Krishna. Because it means, or rather, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So this is everything there. Is that conscious? And they all just want to simply unite Radha and Krishna, that's all. And also separate them. This is the picture of Vrindavan. This is Sambhog and Vipralamba. Meeting and separation. This is the picture of Vrindavan. This is increasing the taste. Generally we think, well, if I was God, oh well, I would certainly surround myself by hundreds and thousands of beautiful women. But I would leave it at that and wouldn't let it stop, you know. But God's more intelligent than us. No, they're forcibly taken apart by arrangement of Yogamaya. Then he's longing for his love. We don't think that. But Yogamaya is creating it. She wants to give the most pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, she's creating this separation. And then union again. So then Radha and Krishna meeting. They make arrangement in the morning after Krishna takes his breakfast. Goes out with the cows. Ideal setting. Because they're away from the elderlies. All the young boys are there. They haven't got the older people staring down their backs. So they're going to have a good time amongst themselves playing. Then Krishna gets different types of messengers are coming around. Vrinda Devi sends her parrots, little messages and things like that, spies. Radharani will be at this place at a certain time, or Krishna will be here. So eventually they meet. They've waited a long time, you know, since the night before, they haven't seen each other. So again, they're longing to be together. And everything is engaged, you know. In the service of uniting them, the cows and the cowboys, that's an excuse, but it's an excuse to take them away from the village, away from the elderlies, so they can, Radha and Krishna can be together. So everything there is for the pleasure of Radha, for uniting Radha and Krishna, and separating when it's time. Then they get very close, and Krishna leaves most of his friends, his intimate ones he takes, but most of the younger ones, they look after the cows. Then Krishna goes and he can approach. But then as he gets closer, and that's all anybody wants to do. They want to unite Radha and Krishna. But the closer and closer they get, those most intimate who want to, that's all those, they only want to unite Radha, they step in the way. Lalita and Vishakha and her friends. You know, what is this young boy here? Who do you think he is trying to approach our Radha? Like this. And they give so much trouble, and they're just longing to be together. And even they made all the program to get them together. When they come, they make programs this to make it more difficult to approach. So then they're just increasing that separation, the longing to be together. This is love according to poets. Someone just recently told me that in what they call love in the world, it's never. Shrocky, it's never married life. Love story, it's never between a married man and a woman. But the love story is when there's a separation. When there's some separation, they can't be together, they want to be together. Romeo and Juliet, you know, this is classic. But all the love, this is the love of the material world, it's when their lovers can't meet. That is called a good love story. But husband and wife, they never put the love story of husband and wife in the film. But when it's forbidden, and you're restricted from going, then that intensifies the love so much more. So just to increase that love, then the gopis come in. Even they come in the closer and they still step in. Just to increase that. But anyway, finally they... they can meet and enjoy. Then in due course of time, they've got to go back because, you know, the sun started to set and everybody's going to ask where's Krishna. So he has to go back with his cowboys. And they're longing, oh, they can't bear the separation. Somehow or another, they're torn apart. And then off with his friends, then back to the village. And then mother will give him bath and food. And then the night time also, again, they'll go out and have one secret meeting place. Same thing again, they'll be united, go to Radha Kunda or bank of the Jamuna, do their rasa dancing, etc. So this is the picture of Vrindavan. It's simply uniting Radha and Krishna in separation. It's Shambhoga and Vipralamba. And this is increasing the taste. It's every time they meet again, it's like they're meeting for the first time. You lose the shyness after some time. You become a little bit familiar. But for Radha and Krishna, it's all new. But the love is the same. The love is always building up. That's not starting again. It's ever more and more powerful. But it's just like they're meeting for the first time, so then they can exhibit all these symptoms of shyness and bashfulness. And so it's going on like this, increasing and increasing and increasing. So this is the picture of Vrindavan and all the inhabitants there, everything. It's only business is this purpose. To bring Radha and Krishna together and then their separation. That's all that's going on. It's quite simple actually. Krishna's just getting up in the morning, going out with the cows and coming back in the evening. It's very regulated. But so much rasa, so much loving relationship is just going on with everyone. Everybody's love Krishna more than their own breath. And that's all they're doing. So this is our mood. It's not that we're trying to go back to Godhead because we want to be happy for our pleasure. We'll get some experience with Krishna. There's not even of that mood in there. It's simply, they only want to think of Radha and Krishna's pleasure. How we can please unite Radha and Krishna. So this is what we're trying to understand. How we can bring Radha Gopinath pleasure. Not how we can be satisfied in a nice situation. No. Whatever it takes, how we can simply please Radha Gopinath. And we do that by pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kabodhananda Saraswati also said the same thing. Now if you want that very special thing, immediately you go to Navadvip. Take shelter of Lord Gauranga and his devotees there. And this is actually the only way to worship Radha, approach Radha and Krishna. The only way is actually through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this particular age. So he has come, so kindly come to give this with such a rare gift. That even Brahma and Shiva, they can't attain. So we have to take advantage of this movement that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada. I follow very strictly all the prescribed duties that we're supposed to be doing and simply stay in that framework what Prabhupada has given us, a very simple framework. And that's what he's promised, that we can actually attain that supreme abode of Radha Gopinath. So we started on the point of our identity, so we can finish again on the same point. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Radha Gopinath Juki. In preparation for their birthday in 2 days. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Go Premanandi, Hare Go. If anybody has a question, yes.
Hare Krishna. I have a problem in understanding this two concepts. One thing is that whatever is our swarup, that is what we attain. Once we are removed of the contamination, and at the same time it is said that you can attain Golok Vrindavan only if you receive Gaurang Mahaprabhu's mercy. So those who have fallen from Golok, in when they are practicing in other ages, so will they not attain Golok? Or at the same time, those who are following Gaurang Mahaprabhu but they have not fallen from Golok, what will be their destination?
No, you can't attain Golok in another yuga. Except when Krishna personally comes here, once in a day of Brahma, or when he comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu follows him. Only this short period, in one day of Brahma, that's the only time it's available. Otherwise, not available.
What is the fate of the people who have actually fallen from Golok, but they are in other age, and they are they have perfected the life, they have perfected the sadhana. So what is their fate?
We all fell from Golok.
What I mean to say is, people might have fallen from different Vaikunth planets. Some might have fallen from Golok.
It's understood that Aham Shavasya Prabhu, Krishna says, that's the original planet. All the other planets come from Golok. Aham Savasya Prabhupada, Krishna is speaking, everything comes from me. He never leaves Vrindavan. That means everything is there in Vrindavan. We may have left Vrindavan and gone to Vaikuntha and fell from Vaikuntha or whatever. But everybody is actually from Golok.
And but they are like devotees of Ram. Like when Lord Ram came, he took everyone to the Sakya
Ayodhya.
Ram. Ayodhya, yeah. So, how is this? At this time, how people went to Ayodhya and how now people, followers of Gaurang Mahaprabhu, they will be going to Lord Krishna's abode.
They can change also. They're all Ram Bhaktas. Then they're devotion, then they get an opportunity as they're very advanced, they get an opportunity to take part in his pastimes when he appears here. Then from there they perfect it, they go back to Ramaloka. And also others who come into contact, they can also change if you want. You have a freedom of choice how you want to serve the Lord. Jivya Sarupaya Nitya Krishna Das. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. That you cannot change. But how you want to serve Krishna, you can change. That is by your desire. Hare Krishna.
First of all, let me express my deep sense of gratitude and heartfelt thanks for your beautiful discourse. Maharaj, you mentioned that after this yuga, there will be annihilation and again the Sati Yuga will start. So after the annihilation, what is happening with the, what is the position of these jivas who are living here, and whether they will be go back to Vaikuntha or they will be placed according to their karma in different planets? Hare Krishna.
Yes, they'll be placed according to their karma. whatever situation they left in according to their karma, they will take their next birth. Just pick up from that. Pick up from that karma.
Time of procreation, the same, at the time of procreation, the same jivas will appear, or what is the position? Can you throw some light on that? What is actually happening?
Procreation means at the time of the total annihilation, then all the jivas will go back into the body of Vishnu, and again they'll come out with the next breath, and they'll begin exactly with the karma they went in with. They'll begin again. Right. And also at the end of Kali Yuga, again they will. Is the partial devastation? No, it's in the at the end of every day of Brahma. Anyway, they will certainly be led by their whatever is their karmic destiny. That, but they will have to follow. They'll just continue to the next yuga.
Krishna, first of all, Prabhuji, I express a deep gratitude for your lovely discourse. And I also thank Radha Gopinath for the mercy. Today was my working day, but due to some mercy, I come over here and have this lovely experience of your discourse. You were mentioning in your discourse, it is all about Radha Gopinath's unity and then separation, and their love increases. That is perfectly alright for them, because both of them are Supreme Personality, King and Queen of the world. They can manage everything. But when a person like a common man like us tries to win the process and gets away due to some reason, due to his routine work, of course, chanting should be continued. That is the only, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. But how do one concentrate on Radha Gopinath while doing his routine day-to-day duties, karmas, and still try to be united with Radha Gopinath always?
It's chanting Hare. We should always be chanting Hare Krishna. Hare is Radha, and Krishna is Gopinath. So like that, we can always understand their presence. Philosophically, whatever you're seeing, whatever you're dealing with, is nothing but Krishna's energy, Prakriti, which is actually the female energy, Durga Devi, who is actually an expansion of Radha. So in that sense also you can see that the energy and the... So philosophically we have to understand. You don't necessarily have to be meditating on the form of Radha Gopinath when you're doing your work. It may not be possible. Just like Prabhupada said that Arjuna was on the battlefield. He wasn't meditating on Krishna's form. He was looking. There's some arrows coming. He wasn't thinking of Krishna, otherwise he'd be a goner. But he was dodging the arrows. He was attentive to his duty. But he was doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna. So whatever we do in life ultimately should be to the satisfaction of Krishna. If you have to work, then at least some of that percentage should go towards Krishna, in service to Krishna. And like that, whatever you're doing, should ultimately, you have to maintain your house, your family, your children, because you're making them Krishna's pleasure. That's the purpose of having a family, to take them back to Krishna. So you may have to work to maintain that. So that's considered Krishna's service. You're doing that in the service of Krishna. So everything you do, you should be understanding this is for Krishna's pleasure. And the more we think of the pleasure of Krishna, then that is our, the more understanding we will have of our relationship with them. So ultimately, whatever we're doing, we should see it as bringing Krishna pleasure. I'm working hard, it doesn't seem like it's any Krishna. But with this, some money I'll get, I'll offer Krishna some nice food, I'll offer, because we have to eat at home, so you have a picture of a deity, I'll offer Krishna some nice food, I'll offer some nice incense food, or I'll buy a flower. Somehow or another, you think of Krishna's pleasure instead of my pleasure, then very quickly you can make rapid advancement. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. There you go.